your finances, on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Good afternoon, fellow traders. This is Paula T. of the Institute of Trading Psychology coming to you from 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. It is Sunday, March 23rd. We have now entered into springtime. Okay, so let's go over some stuff. We're gonna go over some of the things I touched upon last show, but I'm going to continue to give you information about the cryptocurrency situation, and just so you guys understand that I'm not anti-crypto. I'm just amazed at traders that don't take their profit out in a crypto account. So guess what was in the news today? Another crypto firm has been found guilty to market manipulation and fraud conspiracy. Now, you may have read about this already. I hadn't heard about it, but apparently the firm Gotbit and the founder of Gotbit are now in federal custody. And the firm Gotbit has agreed to cease all operations and to forfeit approximately $23 million in seized cryptocurrency. Now, what that means is they're going to forfeit $23 million in cryptocurrency that's on account. That doesn't necessarily mean the amount of money that the founders and CEOs may have offshore. However, what this means is that the Gotbit Consulting LLC, Gotbit, it was or is a financial services firm known in the cryptocurrency industry as a, quote, market maker. And its founder pleaded guilty yesterday in federal court in Boston to criminal charges relating to their, quote, fraudulent manipulation of cryptocurrency trading volume on behalf of client cryptocurrency companies. Now, what does that mean? That means that the CEO, Alexei Andreyunin, is only 26 years old, of Russia and Portugal, so he has dual citizenship, who founded Gotbit. He pleaded guilty to charges of wire fraud, conspiracy to commit market manipulation to create the wire fraud. Now, Andreyunin was arrested in Portugal. He'd left the country on October 8th last year in 2024, and he was extradited to the U.S. here last February 25th, 2025, to face federal charges because he was doing business on U.S. soil when this happened. Now, the indictment by the U.S. federal government also charges two of Gotbit's directors, Fedor Kedrov and Kawai Jalili. So in the court documents, what it states is that Gotbit was a well-known, quote, market maker in the cryptocurrency industry, meaning between 2018 and 2024, Gotbit provided market manipulation services to create artificial, meaning fake, trading volume for multiple cryptocurrency companies, which are not named in the court documents as of yet, meaning other cryptocurrency companies were provided this artificially inflated trading volume by Gotbit. Now, some of these companies are, these other companies that got this information are located within the U.S., and other companies who are outside the U.S. providing cryptocurrency trading have their platforms outside the U.S., but also investors can trade them. The investors can trade them who are located in the U.S. That sounds a little confusing. That means that they were providing this fake trading volume to different cryptocurrency trading platforms, some of whom were in the U.S. and some of them of whom were outside the U.S., but all of those companies that they gave this inflated and fake trading volume information to, anybody in the U.S. could trade upon. All right. Now, its CEO in the court documents, again, I'm just talking, reading from the court documents, he described how he developed a code to what he called wash trade cryptocurrencies to artificially inflate trading volume for the purpose of getting cryptocurrencies listed in the bigger marketplaces, okay? And to have them traded on the larger cryptocurrency exchanges. Now, you know, guys, I'm bringing this up again because more and more of you are contacting me saying, oh, I was on this platform and that platform, I can't get my money, and now they disappeared and all this kind of stuff. This is what this is all about. None of these are regulated. I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen forward with cryptocurrencies here in the U.S., but I do think that there is a concern within our federal government that they do need to be regulated, at least with cryptocurrency companies here in the U.S. And don't quote me on this because I don't know if that's a fact, but it would only make sense. But this is why I'm constantly telling you guys, if you make profit in crypto, take 50% of it out and put it in a bank, a real financial institution, okay? And I know some of you that called me were part of this gut bit. You know, I had two family members who I'm not going to name here, but they were in the gut bit and they wanted me to trade it for them. I'm like, no way, absolutely not. Now, on top of creating this and these inflated trading volumes, the whole company, and you know, including their salespeople and their employees, they marketed those fake trading volume to prospective clients. And what the federal government has found out, that they used multiple accounts outside of the U.S., offshore accounts, to avoid detection of the fake trades so the public would never learn. Gutbit made these fake trades worth millions and millions of dollars on behalf of these other crypto trading platforms. So this is not just, oh, this platform is no good or that platform is no good. These things are interrelated, guys. And that's why I'm saying you really have to do your research to find out who these crypto platforms are. Now, you know, the CEO admitted that he engaged in manipulating trades to artificially increase the trading price and volume of tokens. And some of the other platforms were Robu, Inu, and Saitama. Now, those guys, those two companies that I mentioned, you know, they're charged in separate cases. We're just talking about, you know, Gutbit right now. So as of yesterday, Gutbit has agreed to close their operations and forfeit, you know, the $23 million in seized cryptocurrency. However, the U.S. government can only recommend a sentence for this guy and his staff of up to 2 years in prison. Now think about this, guys. Think about your account being seized or lost, and you got these guys who have offshore accounts that took your money and invested it elsewhere, got tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, according to these court documents, and you lost your entire account. And those guys are only going to go to prison for maybe up to 2 years. Well, you got to think about this, guys. Okay? I'm kind of busting your chops here again. You want to trade crypto, that's fine. But you better do your research. So, you know, the point is that the federal laws have not kept up with the internet. Federal laws have not caught up with cryptocurrency trading. You need to be aware of this. You need to understand this. This is your financial future, guys. So when I tell you these kind of things, I'm not anti-crypto. I'm just frustrated at the lack of research that any of you do before you open an account on a crypto platform that you don't know anything about. And I'll tell you right now, I got 3 emails this week from guys that were on Gotbit. And those guys lost millions. Millions. They will never see a dime of that. Or if they do, it's going to be pennies on the dollar. And these are guys that cannot afford to lose that. These are guys that I coached, but they did not listen to me and they did not take out their profit. Even a 25% or 30% of their profit. They did not take out one dime of profit and put it in a bank. But now they want me to help them recoup their money. How is that? And because they've had such a big hit, now emotionally, spiritually, financially, they're devastated. Look, guys, I can work with you and I can help you out of any kind of mental hole, shall we speak, or mental drawdown. Yeah, I mean, I've heard it all. But when someone loses everything, or they, you know, what, no matter what the amount of money is, because it's all relative to each trader, it's extremely difficult because they were told what to do. And they didn't want to do it because they saw, oh, I can make double my money or triple my money. So the greed got in the way, or whatever reasoning they had, whatever validation they had, got in the way of them managing their money and being attached to that money that they made as a trader, even in crypto. So here's just another example where these guys are laughing. They took your money. They invested it. It's on their yacht, or it's in their mansion, or it's in their offshore account. And you're left with nothing. We'll be back after a break. Okay, so I brought this up today, and guys, again, I am not searching the internet or reading the newspapers looking for negative things about crypto. If anything, exactly the opposite. All right. I want to hear good things about crypto. I really do. And it really makes me sad to think that when I tell you to, you know, practice some money management, whether you're in crypto or the financials or, you know, the grains or whatever you're trading, it's always a good rule of thumb, once a week, at the very minimum once a month, take out a minimum of 25% of your profit, okay, and put it aside in an account that you cannot wire back into your trading account. I'm repeating this because you guys just don't seem to get it. And I understand why, because you've got countless people on the internet telling you the exact opposite. Oh, you gotta to trade big, you gotta have a big account. Just leave all your profits in there. Yeah, well, and then, you know, you have drawdowns because you get sloppy. So if you take out 25% of your profit out of your trading account, you're still leaving 75% of your trading profit in your trading account. So you are still growing your trading account. So how are you losing? How are you losing? And the other part of the equation is you have to start paying yourself as a trader. Well, how are you going to do that if you don't take any profit out of your trading account? You're never going to know that you made any money trading, because If you leave all 100% of your profit in your trading account, and then you have a big drawdown and you lose it, well, okay. Now you got to deal with, oh, I don't have any money. I lost all my profit. Whereas if you take 25% out, and that's the minimum again, take 25% out, let's say you do have a big drawdown. You've still got that account over here where you saved, you put aside that 25% all the rest of the time before that drawdown. So now you have a resource, you have a positive actuality that, oh, you know what? I did make profit and I did pay myself as a trader. Do you see? It's just logistics, guys. And it's a visual thing. I take 50% of my trading profits out once a month. That's just me. Okay. I am a conservative trader. I get it. Maybe you guys don't, you know, agree with that. That's fine. That's what just works for me. So, and my money goes into CDs where I can't touch it, or money markets. And so let's just say I have a bad trading day. I still know that I paid myself as a trader and I took my profit. So that does not distract me from getting back in the market just because I had a losing day or a losing trade or a losing set of trades. And everybody has losing trades just due to market movement. You could do everything right and still have losing trades. And you guys really need to get this through your brains because that's just the nature of trading. So my point being is, whether you're in crypto or any other market, once a week or once a month, take out a minimum of 25% of your profit and put it aside in a true financial institution, such as a bank, whatever, you know, or give it to your wife to hold. Like I've said, put it under your mattress. It doesn't really matter where it goes. But so if you do have a drawdown day or set of days, you still have that to prove to yourself, hey, I am a trader. I'm doing things right for the most part. And, you know, this is just a momentary glitch. I mean, this is what the best traders know. This is what they know, and this is what they believe, and this is what they do. So getting back to what we talked about last week about logic and investigation and stuff like that, one of the things, you know, that I wanted to go over was, and I'm trying to look through my notes here, sorry if you're hearing the paper move here, is that the best of the best traders find out what the reasons are behind why they choose not to learn and grow into a better trader. And I'll be honest with you, the trading world is absolutely brutal to those traders who choose not to learn. Now, when you're a trader, anybody, you know, I was talking to a friend today at lunch, and he said, oh, I don't know anything about the trading world. And he was talking about he's getting divorced and, you know, he's going to have to separate his portfolio, you know, from his partner. And he said, I don't know how I'm going to do that. So, you know, I had my notepad. I pulled up a chart. I pulled up a 3-year chart of T-bonds. And I said, well, what do you see on this chart? And he said, well, a bunch of lines. I said, no. I said, just clear your mind for a moment. And what is it that you think this 3-year chart of T-bonds is saying? And interestingly enough, now he's never traded a day in his life. He said, well, I can see it looks like here and here and here. It looks like it was going down, like in some sort of trend. And here and here and here, you know, it looked like it was, you know, turning around. And I said, yeah, exactly. I said, you just learned how to read a chart. He got a big smile on his face. He said, really? I said, yeah. I mean, you know, it's your first day, you're a beginner, but for all intents and purposes, my point to him and to you here, guys, is that anybody can read a chart. Anybody can learn how to read a chart. That's not hard. That's just the basic mechanism. All right. So just because someone can read and analyze historical data doesn't mean they can think like a winner. And someone who does not take out any percentage of their profit and put it aside doesn't understand what it means to think like a winner. More importantly, they do not believe in the universal law of infinite abundance, of infinite wealth. Because if they did, they would know that taking any amount of the profit out of their trading account and putting it aside is telling the universe, telling themselves, telling their brain, telling their psyche, their soul, that I know I'm going to make more money trading. That's the way it works, guys. This is your divine right to be as prosperous as you want to be. God has endowed this with each and every one of us. Society takes that away from us. Oh, you can only be this pretty or this thin or this famous to have all what everything that you dream of. That's society. That's man's rules or ideas. But our Heavenly Father doesn't believe that. But he gave us free will, so you can pick and choose what you believe. Now, what Mark and I teach, and I say Mark still collectively because I'm, you know, there's still a lot of material of his that I'm incorporating into our material together. We believe in infinite abundance. We have never wanted for anything in our lives. We've never been broke. We've never been homeless. We've never lost anything, thank God, you know. We've only lived our life believing that God will always provide for us. And that's what each and every trader has to do, is believe in God, that he will provide everything you want out of your trading if you listen to him. Now, I'm just, you know, providing suggestions here, and I'm just giving you a positive message. But I'm telling you, this is the way it works. And our materials wouldn't be pirated so much on the internet if they weren't the truth. They weren't the source for what we teach. Now, I'm not saying other people teach what they teach and that's their source, that's their truth. I'm just speaking just about our materials. So my point being is that you guys have to start believing in universal laws that God has provided to this universe, to this world. You have to have a connection to your higher power to bring about the types of wealth that you want as a trader. And it's yours for the taking. My goodness, it's so simple. But we as humans make it harder. We don't want to think it's that simple, you know? But it is. And that was the beauty of when I first met Mark. I knew it, he knew it, and that's why we clicked together. We had connection to God that was so great and so firm that we knew we could accomplish anything as traders or anything anywhere else. So hold that thought, and we'll be right back.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, in the earlier segment, what I said was the trading world is brutal to those who choose not to learn. Now, what I mean by that is, as any of you who have had a large drawdown know, losing money is financially brutal. It's emotionally brutal. It's spiritually brutal. And you have to understand that if you're having drawdowns or you're not growing your equity to the degree that you think you can or should, then that means you're following an inappropriate set of steps to achieve your goals. Now, that could be as simple as you don't have any goals other than some vague notion of taking a boatload of money out of the markets, which I hear all the time from guys, even to this day. Or you don't have a business plan for your trading. And I'm going to say right now, 99% of you never even thought about having a business plan. And again, trading is a business. The only reason we are traders is to make money. How do you make money? You have a plan and you have goals. 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. You have criteria. You have to follow through on all that, guys. I don't understand why having a business plan is so difficult for you guys to understand. Now, a lot of you guys will say, oh, hey, you know, I've been in this a long time and I'm really smart. Okay, well, if you're so smart and you know what you're doing, then how come your results are not what you expect? Well, your results only reflect what you have learned. Rather, what you have allowed yourself to learn and believe. Now, let's just use an example of, let's say, stuntmen in movies, right? Now, I'm not talking necessarily about today's movies because a lot of the stunts are computer generated, you know, and they're just not real. But years ago, you know, from when the movies first started to, I'll say maybe at least up until about 10 years ago, there actually were real people that learned how to do stunts in action movies. You know, John Wayne, was one of the first ones, I guess. I can't name all the other stuntmen, who's a Chinese guy that did the, what was his name? I forget his name. And he was the Chinese inspector that came over to the U.S. And worked with, I forget. What was it? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, he broke every bone in his body, the Chinese actor. I can't remember his name. I can't believe this. But anyway, he did all his own stunts. I know Steve McQueen did a lot of his stunts, and they just had the movie Bullet, one of his famous scenes, on TV the last week. And he wanted to do a lot of the driving stunts in that chase scene. And, you know, the movie studios were like, well, you can do some of them, but you're not doing the really bad ones, the really scary ones. Now, the guys chasing him, the two guys in the car behind him, those were actual stunt drivers, even though they actually had acting parts. They were actually really, really excellent race car drivers and stunt car drivers. My point being is that any stunt person in the movies had to practice and practice and practice and practice and practice until they got it right. Not just so they got it right, but that it wasn't even a second thought. It was just became a part of who they are. It's no different with trading. And I know I've said this before, but you know, think about yourself as being a stuntman, because stuntmen can get hurt and break bones and or even die, unfortunately. I don't know if there's a lot of that to happen, but I know a lot of them have been hurt. I mean, look at Evel Knievel. My goodness, you know, that thing in Las Vegas where, you know, he broke, I don't know how many, everything, I think, in his body. But he came back because he learned from that. Well, my whole mission here, which was the same with Mark, I'm just continuing this on in, you know, better and deeper ways. We don't want you to have that accident like Evel Knievel did. We don't want you to be a stuntman who breaks bones financially, shall we say. We're trying to help you not avoid it, trying to help you understand it is a very big possibility that you can be hurt financially if you don't practice how to trade. If you don't understand that you don't know what you don't know. Now, what I heard on TV about Steve McQueen driving that race car during the movie Bullet, he said, well, hey, you know, I'm a heck of a driver. And, you know, and he was. I mean, he raced cars and stuff like that. But the movie industry told him racing cars is one thing. Racing cars on a track is one thing. Doing stunt driving where you're on highways and going around corners and, you know, you have these, you don't know what may happen, even though they've closed the streets off. You just don't know. It's not the same as driving on a racetrack, which is very contained. So he had to admit, okay, you're right. And that's why some of the scenes he didn't drive. And there were a lot of accidents filming that chase scene through San Francisco. So it's no different with your trading, guys. And if you haven't seen the movie Bullet, watch the movie. Watch the chase scene. Right? It's one of the best next to the French Connection movie with Gene Hackman. And yes, these are older movies because these are real movies. These are not computer generated like Mission Impossible and, you know, all the other stuff out today. That is not real. Okay, gone in 60 seconds. That's computer stuff. Trading, yes, it's facilitated through a computer, but financially, you can be just as damaged as any race car driver can be on a track. Excuse me. So, you know, my messages are always to try to stop you from being harmed, okay? I'm going to give you another example, and this is very metaphysical. When you believe in safety in trading, meaning thinking about what you're doing, learning what you need to learn, and accepting that you may not know what you don't know, then you can allow yourself to go a little bit slower, shall we say. And when I say slow, I just mean thoughtfully. Okay, not slow trading, but just thoughtfully approaching your trading. Because high trading, heavy trading, you know, large trading in a safe way comes from practicing. Practicing with your eyes and your hands. But more importantly, you have to think about it first. Because without practicing mentally, each moment you trade can equate into a financial accident. Okay? Now, this is a little bit out of context, but it really brings home what we're talking about. Mark and I lived in downtown Chicago for almost 30 years. We lived in high rises, and there were several times that, you know, we weren't on that high of a floor. We were on the 16th floor in the last building we lived in. And there was a couple times, you know, I was going to meet friends for dinner. And I would get into the elevator, you know, push L for lobby. And the elevator would stop for no reason on another floor. Now, maybe somebody had pushed the button. Maybe they went back into their apartment. I don't know. But this last time, and this is what I'm getting to, guys, about your trading. The last time was I was running late, get in the elevator, and it stopped four times on four different floors, and no one got on. And I was really annoyed because I was late, and it was a friend's birthday, and I was mad at myself for being late. So I get to the lobby, and I'm complaining to the doorman. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I got stopped four times by the elevator and, you know, nobody got on and now I'm more late. And, you know, so I said, please put on the light for a taxi. No taxi came right away. So now I'm even more late and I'm fuming and I'm tapping my foot. And the doorman, who was, I want to say he was Armenian. He said, well, maybe God's delaying you for a reason. And I looked at him and I said, why would God delay me from getting to my friend's birthday party? Now, again, this is not about trading, but the point is. Anyway, so I get, taxi finally comes. It's some guy, some driver from Jamaica. You know, the whole taxi smells like marijuana. Anyway, so I'm like, hurry up. Got to get me to Greektown. I'm late, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yeah, man, everything in time. And he's not going very fast. So I'm fuming and I'm like, oh my God. And I'm actually thinking to myself, why am I so annoyed? It's no big deal, right? I'll just get there. Anyway, so we go down, we're driving. We turn a corner to get to Greektown in Chicago. And as we round the bend, there's this horrific traffic accident. There's like four cars involved. I mean, and there's just people in really bad shape. And you could tell some of them were not alive anymore. And I said, oh my God. And the taxi driver turned around to me and he said, because I had told him the story about the elevator being late and all that kind of stuff. And he turned around, and he looked at me and he said, ah, God was saving you. And I never forgot that. And I relaxed and I said, all right, let's, you know, I mean, you know, police and fire were there, so that everything was fine. But so anyway, we went around the corner. When I got to the restaurant, I related the story to everybody. And I said, so, you know, God saved me, because if the elevator had not stopped, if the taxi hadn't shown up sooner, I might have been part of that accident. Lesson learned. So it's no different with your trading. You can't rush. You can't be impatient. You can't pay attention to the signals that you're getting. This is the way it is, guys. So from that point forward, you know, and of course I came home and told Mark the story. And so we agreed that every time we were going down the elevator and the door opened and no one got on, we assumed an angel got on and the angel was protecting us from a drawdown of some sort. We'll be right back. Okay, so I know a lot of you out there may not know that much about Mark and myself. You know, a lot of you just see the pirated videos and you think you know, yeah, he was a nice guy and, you know, he may know nothing about me, which, you know, I understand. Mark was a great guy and he had a very strong connection to God. That's why I fell in love with him, because I, too, have a strong connection to God. And I'm going to share one of the stories from our book, Life with Grace, the book is full of stories from just regular people that have experienced small miracles. And one of the things we're going to be doing forward, guys, is reminding you about the small miracles in your life. And I know for myself, there's been times when I've shared my stories, my little miracles, what I consider miracles, with other people. And they say, oh, that was just a coincidence. Oh, you really think that was God talking to you? You know, and they poo-poo it. And I feel sorry for them, because they will never have a connection to God like I do. Now, Mark used to make a joke about this, but, you know, when we were living in Chicago, you know, winter is winter. And if you're driving to a mall or a restaurant or something, you want to find a parking spot close to the door to the restaurant or the mall, you know, so you're not walking through, you know, snow and sleet or, you know, 20 below wind chill. So it was always kind of a, I want to say joke, but it wasn't a joke, but it was always interesting that Mark would say, okay, I'm going to put out that we find a parking spot close to the door. And I'm like, okay, cool. Because he was usually driving, just was what it was. And 9 times out of 10, we would find a spot close to the door. It just is what it is. And people would always be amazed, like if we had another couple with us or anything, they're like, we never get spots close to the door. See, little things like that add up, guys. They really do. If you clear your mind and you believe that, and you put out your intention, it's like, I believe that I'm going to get a parking spot close to the door. It's going to manifest. And it's no different with your trading. If you clear your mind and you say, I'm going to have a winning day. Now you have set your focus on winning. So you have to apply it in all areas, even just in such a little way as just getting a parking spot close to the door, at least in, you know, areas that have winter, because that trickles down into your trading. All right. So, and out here, you know, I live in the desert in California and in Palm Springs, you know, it's 125 degrees in the summer. So yes, I will say I would like to get a parking spot close to the door because I don't want to walk all the way down through the parking lot in 125 degree weather. So it doesn't matter whether it's cold or hot or it's raining or you're just tired. When you start practicing to manifest your intentions in small ways, little areas, then it happens. And when it starts happening in your everyday life, then it starts happening when you're trading. Because you've been practicing these little manifestations in areas that don't really matter, shall we say, or they matter less. So when you start trading, now you can say, hey, you know, I got that parking spot the other day because I was really focused on allowing God to show me which aisle to go down. Hey, maybe I should listen to him direct me into putting in my stop here, not moving my stop, taking that setup, not taking that setup. When you start getting in tune with your inner soul, then everything starts falling into place. It starts manifesting because that's what we as traders want to do. We want to manifest the highest amount of profit taking that we can. Unfortunately, in today's society, there is so much misinformation out there on the internet. There is very little that is understandable in terms of information on how to be the best trader you can be. Because there's a lot of idiots out there. There really are. Okay? It's a fact. So in order to weed through all of that, what you can do is start with these little things. Start with putting out a clear intent to get a parking spot next time you go to the store. Or next time you go to a restaurant, put it out. Hey, I want to have a better table than I did last time. And be clear and focused on that. Just little things like that. If you're working out or you're just getting back into working out, okay, I want to take, you know, because a lot of people are doing in the, you know, the 10,000 steps a day or whatever was really popular a couple years ago. So let's just say, all right, I'm going to lift my free weights one extra rep and allow that to happen, no matter how hard it is. So because when you start doing these little things, then you build a resource in your brain. You create a file folder, shall we say, of, hey, I manifested that parking spot. I manifested lifting my weights more. I manifested a better table at the restaurant. These things add up, guys. And this is all part and parcel to how you approach your trading. Now, Mark and I had some really big miracles in our life, and I'll share them with you, on the next show. But it all started with these little things. When you truly believe that you can maintain a focus, create and maintain a focus to manifest something as small as a parking spot or lifting your weights more or doing, you know, one more step on the treadmill, or 10 more steps, now your brain knows, okay, hey, you have an intent. You can manifest whatever you choose to manifest. And if you want to manifest great wealth as a trader, that's how it all gets started. How do you think Mark and I got started? This is exactly how we got started. So, more next week. This is Paula T. Webb of the Institute of Trading Psychology, coming to you on 1610 WBGS. It's the great place to be. I wish you all the best in the upcoming week, and we will talk to you soon.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.